Chapter 2, and you say, oh no, the Christmas story. Oh yes. Oh yes, the Christmas story. We look at the most precious gift. You know, we go shopping, we start looking at those Black and Blue Friday sales papers and Small Business Saturday sales and the Psychotic Monday or Cyber Mondays and all these things that we look at to see where we can get the best deal, see who's cutting prices and looking for gifts and just look for just the right gift that's going to be just perfect for everybody and please everybody. And you know, I was telling somebody, I said, used to, I knew that for my Aunt Martha when I was growing up, that every year for Christmas I was going to get underwear. She worked at Hanes and Sparta, and every year she got our sizes, and you get enough underwear to last you a year. Now when you're a kid, that don't mean much. Underwear wasn't a thrilling thing. But the older you get, you realize how practical a gift that is. How practical a gift. And we find the perfect gift, but God found the perfect gift for mankind. It started what Christmas is all about. And this week, you know, we have heard a lot in the news about Brother Phil Robertson and all the things associated with him for comments and remarks that he said that is backed by this precious word. Amen. That we have. And we've seen a lot of people getting on the Phil Robertson bandwagon. Now, I'm not taking nothing away from that. We need to and support him for what they are trying to censor him in his free speech. We cry free speech as long as it fits our need. But if it steps on our toes, then we cry foul. But let's support also local ministers who stand on the same word, who may not have a million-dollar business, but still have the same conviction of this word. Amen. Let's pray for all the churches that are standing on this book today, not just the Duck Dynasty crew, amen, but all of God's people who are willing to stand and not compromise on the word of God. We found one spokesman that we're all getting behind, but how long will it last? Will it be as 9/11 when people filled the church house after it happened but then started dwindling? And how soon we forgot. Just because Phil Robertson said it doesn't make it any more important. What makes it important is God said it. And we need to stand up for God's word. And we need to stand for Brother Phil Robertson. But there's people already printing up t-shirts, Feel strong and all these things. And that's good and that's great to show your support. But we need to support God's word all the time. Amen. Not just times in controversy, but in all times, because it is always true. Amen. Not just when it's an outcry like this. And we need to support our brothers and sisters that stand on the word of God. And we need to stand on it. So that's why we read and believe with all of our heart. Just as it was told in chapter 1. I may see that was last week about Brother John the Baptist coming to be the forerunner for Jesus, to come and make straight his path, that he would come to announce his coming, that God has given us Jesus in the way that he has, the most precious and wonderful gift. Now, ladies, you can be honest. Can your husbands wrap presents to where it looks nice? Men, does your wife wrap presents that looks nice? You have to say yes. Do they use a lot of Scotch tape, Daddy? Yes. You've almost got to be an escape artist to get in Mom's packages sometimes the way she wraps them. But they are going to stay in there, and you're not going to get into them without her knowing that you've been in that package. But Jesus was wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. Most precious gift that was ever given, but he came wrapped, and he came with a name tag. He came with honor and with glory, and he came from the most gracious giver that I've ever known in my life, and he was given to all mankind, and it had a name tag, and your name is written on that tag this morning. As we look into God's word in Luke chapter 2, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria." We all know that by heart. We can about repeat the Christmas story from Luke 2 without even reading from the book. But I want to get it word for word. And it says, "All went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. Now you remember how all this came about. In Luke chapter 1, she is visited by the angel of the Lord and tells her that she has found favor in the eyes of the Lord, and that she is going to bear a son, and his name is going to be Jesus. And she says, how can this be so, knowing I don't know a man? This was a miraculous birth, unlike any that's ever been or ever will ever be again. Oh, we've done great advances in science, and we've come up and they can do all these things in the lab, but they're still not God. I've not seen anybody be able to bring in a conception that's holy like this one was holy, because the Holy Spirit overshadowing Mary and her becoming pregnant with the precious Son of God. To be born into a world that would despise him, that would turn against him, a country that has turned their back on him, talking about America and wanting to popularize all this other stuff and make it popular, all these other ways of religion and all these other lifestyles that they say are alternative lifestyles, God calling it abomination. It's still an abomination. When God said it was wrong, that settled it for all time. When God says things are right, that made it right for all time. Standing for the Word of God will be right for all the time. Because it is the true Word of God. And we need to stand upon it, but it says here that they all, that with what come to pass, God's Word was fulfilled. Joseph, of course, being first, he thought about putting Mary away because this had happened. He didn't know, he didn't understand, he didn't see how she could become pregnant, and they hadn't been together unless that she had been impure. But God told him, says, listen, Joseph, don't you worry about it. This is a holy thing that's been done. You're not going to be put to shame. And we all remember Mary and Joseph for the work that they did in bringing Jesus into this world, him being concerned and hearing from God and being obedient and taking Mary to where he was supposed to be, so that the scriptures were being fulfilled, that it would come to pass just as God had already foreordained. And as it all fell into place. And she was being great with child, and so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now little Olivia there, we've tried to wrap her up and swaddle her, and I'm going to tell you something, she's a Houdini. She can get out of it. She don't like being tied up and bound up. She don't like being restricted to her in her movement. She wants to be free just like we do. We don't want to be bound up and restricted in our movement. Some people get claustrophobic and can't stand that. And being in tight places, let me tell you, don't join the fire department. Because don't put on that SCBA if you're claustrophobic. Because you really have you a fit when they cut off your air. Because see, firemen like to play jokes. And while you're crawling through trying to learn how to breathe slowly, they cut your air off so you breathe quickly and you get out of there in a hurry. But she don't like to be restricted, but Jesus here, Mary showing her love for this baby that she has just brought into the world, God's son, her son that she's brought into the world. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes to show her love, that he would have that comfort, that surrounding, that feeling of love to be held close. Don't you like that feeling sometimes? Just that when God wraps you up close in His arms and pulls you up, when no one else knows how you're feeling, when no one else can go with you any further, that Jesus just wraps you up and squeezes you just a little bit, and you love just being there in His arms. And you just feel that love that comes from Him, and a mother's love for her child. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. We see the wrapping of the most precious gift that was ever given that first Christmas. As we see the swaddling clothes, it wasn't fancy paper. Oh, we'll go look for the fanciest paper and the bows and the ribbons, and we'll put it on there, and we want them corners. Now, I've seen Sandra, her fold that paper and tuck that, but it come out and it looked good. Now, I can try to do the same thing. It don't look the same. But a man is, if it's on there, it's good enough. And a woman is, it's got to be on there right or it ain't good enough. The difference. But her love and her attention to her baby as she took care of him, though there was no room for them in the inn. And today there's still no room in a lot of places for Jesus. His name still causes controversy worldwide. though He was a Savior that was brought into the world to pay man's debt of sin, He still causes controversy. You mentioned Mohammed. Not too many people get excited. Nothing to get excited about. Ain't nothing there. It's a dead religion. It has no power. It has no Savior. It has no bloodshed for the sins of mankind. We can talk about Joseph Smith and his ideas on Mormonism and all the different things, and we can see where they've gone astray, away from the Word of God. Say, preacher, you shouldn't name them by names. That's all right. When you're wrong, you're wrong. Amen. You know, it's like, and I'll just tell you how it is. The people that have watched and got upset because of things that said about homosexuality, if you don't want to be upset by it, don't be one. Amen. If you're a sinner, you're a sinner. Amen. If you're saved, you're saved. Amen. We shouldn't be ashamed of what we are if we're lining up with the Word of God. And we're being what we're supposed to be. I just throw that in there a little extra. It didn't cost no more. Because there's no room for them in the end. Today there's no room for him in our government. They're tossing him out every chance they get. Let's embrace a new way. It's like a video I seen this week for some of this new core value math that they've come up with. And the woman explaining a problem of 90 divided by 18 and coming up with the answer 5. That's a lot simpler than drawing 18 circles and figuring out how they got to 90 and taking 108 steps to figure out this math problem. Have we got so educated in America that we've become stupid? We're leaving Jesus out, we're becoming stupid. You say, oh, that preacher just crossed the line. Anytime we leave God, we have lost the most valuable thing that we have ever had. When we leave him on the shelf and we put him up and we get something else in his place, we have lost the sense that God has given us to follow him. We need to get back to what it's all about. Family, but most importantly, the family of God. And most importantly, our Father, God. And His Son that He sent to be the propitiation, the payment, the fulfillment for our sin, to be the payment as He shed His blood. He was born to die. Can you imagine living with that awesome responsibility from the time that you was born? And when you start your public ministry at the age of 30, know in just a few short years that your life is going to be required for a world for all mankind, those that died believing in those that would come, being you and me, to believe in the only begotten Son of God. Can you believe the responsibility that was put upon Jesus' shoulders, but He was still given the free choice to do it? Or whether He would reject all mankind. And He went willing to become the sacrifice. And she brought forth her firstborn son. Can you imagine what was going through Mary's heart as she brought forth the Son of God? Maybe not fully realizing at the time what He would do. As the song is sung, Mary, did you know? Did she fully know and understand when Jesus was born exactly what He would do? Maybe not. Maybe she did. But God knew all along what His Son would suffer. But He sent Him. And He was wrapped in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. His birth was announced to the poor of the community, not the rich in the things of the world, but those that were rich in heart, those that were workers, that were keeping the sheep. As we see the announcement made by the heavenly angels, as we continue on in Luke. And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. Now some people have the idea that a pastor's job ends at sunset and starts at sunrise. It doesn't. The shepherd that watches over his flock doesn't let them go from dark until daylight. He provides watch over his sheep. Some way, some form, somehow, he's there to take care of them and to be their shepherd. God provided us a shepherd, a great shepherd. His name's Jesus. He doesn't quit after 5 o'clock and say, oh, I don't have time for the rest of the day. I've got to sit back and kick my shoes off and drink my coffee and watch my TV and rest before I go to bed. He says, I'm here. I'm listening. I want to be your friend. I want to be closer than your very brother, sister, mother, father. Now it's announced unto the shepherds who are in the fields watching over their flock. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Have you ever been somewhere and all of a sudden you heard singing start and you didn't know where it came from? It kind of startles you, don't it? I was helping Chris Jones. Some of you may have remembered him. He used to be the music teacher at the high school. And one year he was needing a roof put on his house, and myself and Chris and George Hamm was putting his roof on his house. I know what a crew that was. It took us a while. But one morning I got there before the rest of them, and I crawled up on the house, and I was getting ready to start hammering so I could wake the rest of them up in the house so they'd come up and help. And all of a sudden the radio started playing. And I didn't know where it came from, and it kind of startled me. I looked up. When I realized it was Conway Twitty, I knew it wasn't God talking. But when we hear a voice that we're not used to hearing from a place that we're not used to hearing it from, we first think, is God speaking to us? But how many times do we turn a deaf ear? How many times are we so afraid, God, I can't do that. Go Christmas caroling. Why, I can't do that. Try it. You might be far more blessed than the people you're singing to. Oh, I can't go to Sunday school. That requires me getting up too early. Try it. 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. You can make it to work on time on Monday. You can make it to Sunday school on Sunday. It'll work. God will provide. It'll be okay. But step out on a little faith, and God will multiply it. You can do great and wonderful things in God, but you must step out. I'm sure the first time Sister Beverly sang, she was probably nervous. She was probably nervous today. If she's truly sincere in what she's singing for and what she's singing about for God, it'll make you nervous each time you do it. Preacher, do you still get nervous when you preach? You better bet you. Because it's serious. It's serious. Who might receive God? Who might not receive God? Who's listening? Who is close to death's door? Who's needing hope when they're in a discouragement? And the things that maybe that was, I might say that can either turn them to God or away from God. You bet you I get nervous. Because it's so, so important. And the message that were given to these shepherds was so important. But yet at first when they saw the angels and heard the angels, they were afraid. And it says, the angel of the Lord said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. I don't know why sometimes in America we think we're the only ones that's supposed to receive God. And I don't know why sometimes that people get it in their head because they're of a certain race that they're the only ones that is to receive God. God said that He sent His Son unto all people. A Savior was born unto all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This is the package that was wrapped in the swaddling clothes. I saw that the lady had posted on Facebook her kids were shaking their presents, trying to figure out by the size and the sound what they were. Do we see people today coming to check out Jesus? Find out what He's about. Seeing if He will accept them as they are. You see, people have the idea we have to change. I've got to straighten out my life to come to Jesus. I don't know where we get that. Jesus said, come unto me. Come unto me. Just as you are. And God will change you. God will change you. See, because if you try to clean yourself up in the ways of the world, that's still contaminated and tainted. But you come to Jesus and let Him cleanse you with the blood, and it'll wash away all the impurities. All the impurities. But He was born to us in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with an angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I want to ask you a question. You don't have to answer. You don't have to raise your hand. But do we have goodwill when it comes time for shopping? I don't want no answers on that. Sometimes we don't have too good a will. Especially when you get your ankles hit by them buggies. We tend to forget about brotherly love. We love to get a hold of our brother. But goodwill toward men. And goodwill is more than giving a present. Goodwill is having peace with one another. Having a love that God gives us. I was watching a program and a man was on there talking about Christmas when he was a little boy. He said if he got a candy cane, an apple and an orange, that he was in high cotton. Now if we don't spend $400 or $500 on each person, we think we've not got them anything. So none of mine's getting anything. But we need to have peace and goodwill toward men. Goodwill is more than the amount of money you might spend on someone. Goodwill is sharing the love of God that He's put in your heart with each other. Goodwill is not worrying about whether the Democrats or the Republicans are getting along in Washington. But goodwill is praying for our leaders. They've done proved they need it. And all parties. We need to pray for peace and goodwill toward men. I heard them talking to these politicians and couldn't believe the outpouring of support from the opposite party when their family member died. Why not? Why should it be a surprise? We may not always agree on everything here in the church as a whole body. If we do, it will be a shock to me. But in times of death or sickness, we can overlook our differences. Amen. And our grievances, take them to God where we need to, and have peace and goodwill toward men that God would bless and sustain and restore. Amen. That we may be in one mind, one body, and one accord. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. They just didn't take the angel's word for it. They said, hey, this sounds pretty good. Let's go check this thing out. Let's go see what's going on. People still don't have the same concern when they hear the news. Oh, that's another preacher telling me about all I've done wrong, talking about sin, talking about this, talking about that. Come see Jesus and you'll understand why. Amen. Meet Jesus and you'll understand why. Because the love that a true pastor will have, a true Christian will tell you that God loves you. And if you're committing sins and it convicts your heart, then God is trying to show you love and bring you into the fold. And they came without haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger, just as they told they were. They came and found them. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Now this we could have seen, as we see today a lot of times in advertisement, the bait and switch. You ever been a victim of that? They advertise one thing and you get there and they're sold out. Amazing. But we've got this other product that's just a little more expensive, but it's just as good. The bait and switch. They draw you in with one thing, try to sell you something else. God's not that way. Amen. He said, here I am. My son came and died on the cross of Calvary for you. He loves you. I love you. I gave the best that I have. If you'll receive him, you can have salvation. Full and free. And that's all there is to it. He don't say, oh, you've got to do this for so many days and that for so many days. He said, come unto me, surrender your heart, believe in your heart, confess with your mouth unto salvation. He made it simple so even I could understand it. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. When you hear of a good deal and you find a good deal, don't you go tell others about it. When you find something that's good, word of mouth advertising is the best advertising. Guess what? We want to see more people in church. Open your mouth and tell them about Jesus. Share with them what God is doing in this place. This building don't make us a church. It keeps us dry. It keeps us warm. When the air conditioning is working in the summer, it keeps us cool. When the heat's working in the wintertime, it keeps us warm. But what makes us a church is the people. God's people. Filled with His Spirit. That's the church. That's the church. Let's don't lose sight of what the church is. God's people. And all that heard it wondered at those sayings which they was told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all things and pondered them in her heart. There's many people today that are still pondering it or lost, trying to figure it out every way they can on how to get to heaven without going through Jesus. Friend, God told us in His Word there's no other way. Amen. Except through and by the shed blood of Jesus Christ to be able to enter into heaven. Now we've seen that there was a name on the package. We see that there was a great, great present inside, wrapped in that small swaddling clothes, lying there in the manger. But He's not still in that manger.
Thank you, Lord.
He grew to be one of the greatest men that ever walked the face of this earth. He shed His blood and came back to life just as His Father gave Him power, just as He foretold that He would, to tear down this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. Ascended back to the Father and put His blood on the mercy seat of God that I could have salvation. You can have salvation. All the nations of the world, that all mankind could be saved and one day see what Christmas is all about. To be in the home with our Savior. What Christmas is about. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of you put an X in front of must and call it Christmas? We need to have a talk if you do that. Keep Christ where He belongs first in Christmas. And if somebody says happy holiday, tell them it's a happy holy day. Merry Christmas. I've heard more people say Merry Christmas this year than I have in many years. I think they finally realized it's all right to buck the system. It's okay to stand for what God has convicted in us in our heart to say. Happy birthday, Jesus, because that's what it's all about. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. On a package we have a to and a from. Jesus was given to all mankind from God that we can have salvation. If you've kept Him in a manger, then release Him from that manger this year. It was a vehicle for a place for Him to stay, to fulfill the Scriptures, because there was not room in the inn. They've even said, what good thing could come out of Bethlehem? It was such a small, insignificant part of the world. But God chose a small, insignificant part of the world to change all mankind. Friend, it doesn't matter if you do a great big service for God or a small service. What matters is do it unto God. This year as we celebrate Christmas, do it unto God. Not to please family, not to please your wife or your husband, but do it as unto God in remembrance of His Son's birth. that we remember that babe that came in the swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, that was born to die, to pay my sins, debt, and yours, to save a world which was lost, to become salvation unto all mankind. Not just part, not just a few, but to all mankind. Will all men be saved? Unfortunately, they will not. They will not heed the word. Their hearts are hardened off to receiving. Their spirits is calloused because they've walked away from God so long. They said, what I'm doing is right, and I don't want to hear what that preacher or the Bible's got to say about it till they've got so calloused. It won't pierce their heart. God said He wouldn't strive with men always. What will He walk away from someone, quit dealing with their heart? I'm not sure. God didn't put me in charge of that, and I thank God for that, and He didn't. He knows how far He'll strive with you, how far He'll convict you to get you to come to be in His house. But will you hear? Will you heed? Are you here this morning, lost without Jesus? You have no idea what Christmas is truly about. But once He comes in, you will. Will you receive Him? Will you surrender? With giving gifts today, whenever we receive those, someone comes with that package wrapped. Most of the time we place it under a tree in our homes, and then we pass those out. But those that we pass it out to has to do one thing important to receive that gift. They have to reach out and take hold. Jesus is asking you to reach out and take a hold. To reach out and take Him by the hand. To receive His precious blood. That you can be saved and be born again. Twice born. To die once. To die once. Will you receive Him this morning? As we stand to our feet, all heads bowed, all eyes closed.